Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Schools have become a major battleground in the culture wars. Apparently, they have been for decades, but until recently, it was mostly under the radar screen. Now we have schools taking students to abortion clinics for abortions and promoting the LGBTQ agenda. Part of that can be attributed to the unrelenting, but many times undercover or deceptive moves on the part of Planned Parenthood, LGBT organizations such as GLSEN, the Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network, and their successful efforts in pressuring schools to allow gay straight alliance clubs, now sometimes called diversity clubs. We are beginning to see the success of those efforts through the activism of teachers and students. My guest today is Richard Mast. He's Senior Litigation Counsel with Orlando, Florida-based Liberty Counsel. Thanks, Richard, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane.
And thanks so much for being in our corner, because we call on you quite a bit. Now, why do you think, when we look at the public school system, you know, which is supposed to be teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's, why do you think activists are targeting public schools and making them the battleground that they are?
Well, this is not a new phenomenon. This goes back to John Dewey and the idea that educators are the ones who are anointed with the right to reshape the values of Americans into the values that they think they should hold. And that has gone on now for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Early 1900s, wasn't it?
Early 1900s, yeah. Late 1890s, 1800s. Yeah. And so we've seen that carried over to others in all respects. And, you know, America has not been exempt from the sexual revolution, which traces its roots to Alfred Kinsey and his pseudoscientific studies in the late 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, many people don't know that those studies, an integral part of that regarding human sexuality, child sexuality, was based on observations by pedophiles and child molesters, mm-hmm. that sent their data to Kinsey, and he presented this information as normal, and that undergirded the sexual revolution of the 60s, and it has continued unabated to today, and we're seeing the tail end of that.
Yeah, and a lot of Kinsey's studies was used in, like, well, it was also cited in Roe v. Wade, but it's also cited in the rewriting of some of the prison terms, you know, where sexual predators were viewed as, the whole thing was redefined. With Kinsey's studies, everything was redefined. It was reworked to where it almost made the perpetrator a victim to a point.
That's right. And the Model Penal Code was an outgrowth of that.
That's what I'm looking for, yeah.
A collection of laws that was supposed to be a restatement of consensus laws across America, but this in actuality was something that enacted a whole new vision, and particularly in areas protecting women and children. You had family law, you had no-fault divorce, you had sex crimes where the penalties were significantly lessened because mm-hmm. Kinsey said that this was just harmless sexual contact, and that many children by age or knowledge or experience, you know, have no harmful effects from early sexual contact. And that is the cultural milieu in which the schools find themselves today. And, you know, John Dewey was a psychologist. I mean, we see a lot of this coming in the field of psychology, and mm-hmm. school psychologists and guidance counselors are chief exponents of this sexual revolution in the schools. And so they have cast the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism as civil rights issues. And so they view it as their responsibility to advocate for what they claim is an oppressed and marginalized class. And that's not the case. I mean, there's numerous instances of, you know, even the American Psychological Association has listed gender dysphoria. That's just simply a case of someone who is uncomfortable with their biological sex mm-hmm. as a mental disorder. Yeah. And they're claiming that this is not the case and that it's a civil rights issue. Yeah. And they're promoting it to children as young as kindergarten. I just had a phone conversation the week before, with parents in Michigan, where a school district gave 6 business days notice that they were going to read the transgender propaganda book, I Am Jazz, mm-hmm. to elementary student. And then the opt-out activity that they gave was a book on diversity, but it also included homosexuality in it. So it was real no opt-out at all.
No, for sure. And, just,
And parents are pushing back against that nationwide, and Liberty Counsel is here to help that. We've drafted a parental non-consent form, a general form for to be used in any state, as well as some state-specific ones that take into account protections in state law. But it specifically says and puts school districts on notice of what things parents specifically object to. And it goes down the list. It's very good and comprehensive.
Yeah,
and,
it is. Excellent.
You know, parents might go ahead.
I was just going to say, we included that in our I think it was our fall newsletter. We included a copy of that, or a late summer newsletter is what it was. We included a copy of that. And but some school districts, you know, they definitely allow, because they have to legally allow parents to opt their children out of certain things. But then some school districts have written into their policy that, but it's the parents' responsibility to make sure we adhere to this. Basically, that's what they say in a nutshell.
Parents have to be very vigilant.
Yes.
And extremely watchful, because they will try to slip these things in. And
oh, yeah.
Where it used to be you had family life education or sex ed classes that you could effectively opt out of,
right.
That's no longer the case. They're incorporating this social justice theory into various classes
into
and under various
class,
guises.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Claims of anti-bullying or diversity are code words for we're going to indoctrinate your kids on what we think should be their
should.
Belief system.
Yeah. And, you know, and in the past, most of these fights took place in metropolitan areas, you know, the big city. This was a big city problem. But I think with the advent of the internet, and you know, it's in almost every home, at least in the hands of every child, it seems like. So the issue has extended into rural areas as well, and I think the internet has had a lot to do with that. There's a situation not too far from here in Lakeview School District where they passed in the spring a new policy which will open the bathrooms, at this point just the bathrooms, to the one and only transgender student, the female, I think she's a male. But as I was checking that and doing more research on her, she used the internet. She did not know what transgender was. Sounds like she was a tomboy. And so she, you know, she was a tomboy and she liked to do boy things. And she was checking things out on the internet, and she found out through that she was transgender. And I think the internet has played a big part in all this confusion. And homosexual activist organizations are using the internet to get out the word, you know, that if you think you're gay, you must be tried, and you might be transgender if you're not comfortable with who you are, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's one thing that we encourage parents to be diligent in, is know what your child is doing on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something to the transgender attraction for girls that are tomboys, or in my experience, I've talked with parents of girls who had experienced sexual abuse or a bad home environment. They've been hurt as a girl, and they think to themselves, maybe if I could be a boy, I won't be hurt like this, or I won't be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Or the other thing, like you mentioned, girls who are tomboys who just enjoy different things than many girls enjoy, that doesn't make them a boy.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, girls can climb trees, they can ride bikes, they can shoot guns, they can ride horses, they can do all kinds of things.
I did all that stuff.
None of those say that you are the opposite sex. And and so what is very insidious is these adult advocacy organizations that want to legitimize their own personal proclivities are seeking to outreach to children, and children by virtue of age and inexperience don't know that these are lies, and it's harmful. I mean, I spoke with a mother, and you may have as well, whose child, whose little girl, ran away from home and was given cross-sex hormones, and then at the age of 17 was, courtesy of the taxpayers of a Western state, given a radical hysterectomy and a double mastectomy with no parental permission. And that should be a wake-up call to parents.
It should be. It really should be.
It's horrific.
It is. And the kids, so many times I've said that it's the kids who are the victims of this culture war, especially when it comes to the LGBT issue. It's the kids, because let's face it, and under natural situations, two women or cannot have a baby. I mean, and anyway, it takes a man anyway. Even if they have artificial insemination, it takes a man. But unless the only way they can grow their numbers is to convince kids that they're homosexual, or to convince kids that they're transgender. That's the only way that they can grow their numbers. And they're using the public school system as a means to that end. So many times parents are kept in the dark. Or, as you mentioned with the girl who had the so-called sex reassignment surgery without parental permission. It's the kids. You know, we look at the overall picture of schools, you know, with Planned Parenthood putting pressure on schools. We just had one who, a school district in Reading that is now allowing Planned Parenthood to have access to the kids. And with this whole LGBT issue, I mean, you were involved in the East Penn School District where we had parents who were, you know, they jumped through all the hoops the school districts that they had to jump through and making their right to know request about the URLs that their children were exposed to, the videos their children were exposed to the end of April leading up to the Day of Silence. And if it hadn't been for Liberty Counsel's involvement, I don't, you know, they would not have gotten those URLs. I mean, I'm convinced of that. It was your request and your deadline that you set that made the school district do what they should have done when the parents first requested those URLs.
Well, and the law, you know, was very clear. And
oh, yeah.
If school districts could get around every aspect of law by just running it through a local supposedly student-led group, they could get away with all manner of of inappropriate material and activities. And so we can't allow them to do that. And my hat's off to the parents who, in that school district, you know, in the face of all kinds of public excoriation from the supposedly tolerant left, they stood up for their values and to protect children. And if it's difficult for adults to deal with the kind of hate and bullying that is levied at them, what are we thinking with is going on in the schools where, you know, GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, has its gay straight alliances or clubs known by other names that their sole purpose is to be the propaganda arm of these adult outside organizations. And through peer pressure, like with Day of Silence, for instance, it's insidious because it is set up such that it's very public and open what the children are doing who are participating.
Yeah.
They say, I'm not speaking on Day of Silence to represent the alleged silencing of LGBT people.
Yeah.
And so they actively promote that children who are participating in this should get a hall pass, essentially, or a get-out-of-homework-free card where, oh, I'm not participating because of Day of Silence, and the teacher is supposed to recognize that, and therefore the burden of classroom assignments falls on children whose political and religious beliefs don't allow them to participate, and they have to out themselves as overtly not participating.
As being homophobe, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, and another troubling aspect of that, in some school districts, the teachers actually remain silent, too. So the taxpayers are paying the teacher for being
pantomime.
Silent.
It's a, you know, like you're a mime dressed up in... And if there's anything, there's one unifying aspect in all these school policies that I look at is that political activities are not allowed during school time.
Mm.
That's something you have First Amendment rights to engage in political expression on your own time as a teacher, not during instructional time or when acting in your official capacity. And students have limited First Amendment rights when they impinge on the rights of others, when they disrupt the orderly administration of the schools. And so, on the one hand, we see schools bending over backwards to work hand in glove with these groups, and then we see them suppressing Bible clubs, or we see them suppressing little children like the one out in California a couple of years back who was distributing Bible verses and little Bible stories on pieces of paper that his mother would write for him, and then his friends at school started saying, hey, could I get a little Bible verse as well? He's bringing these Bible verses. They're talking about him at lunch, and then he's told he can't talk about it at lunch. And then he tries to give them out after school on school property, and they tell him you can't do that. And that same day, the school district sent a sheriff, a school resource officer, to the child's home to knock on the door and tell him no more distributing Bible verses.
Wow.
I mean, that's Orwellian.
That is definitely. And what better way to silence a child than to have a resource officer, a police officer show up at their house and point out to their parents that this kid's been bad or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the whole point of something like that, and the whole point of the East Penn School District is at Emmaus High School, the whole point is to silence those parents who they may consider troublemakers. And when it's a simple request from parents to know what their children are being exposed to in schools. I mean, parents should know what is being taught their children, but more and more we see schools who don't want parents to know. And we have school board members who are wanting to silence or wanting to make sure parents don't know, and school board members approve curriculum that they themselves have never looked at or approved approved reading lists that they themselves have never looked at or have never read the books on those reading lists or even investigated what they are. When you see, in some cases, pornographic books that are on required reading lists, and when parents complain, then those parents are viewed as
described as censors.
Exactly.
Say, oh,
exactly.
You just want to censor books or you want to burn books. No, that's not
books,
the case at all. And I've had instances where school boards have forced parents to have told them they would be removed or arrested for reading the very books, reading passages from the books in the school board meeting. Like, that doesn't fit with the decorum of this location.
Oh, well yeah, but you want my kids to read it. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but the fifth graders can read that. And these are words that even newspapers can't print. Mm. They can't print these things, or you can't say them on the air. And
wow.
Yet they will assign these to children, and then they'll claim censorship. And it's not censorship. There are gems of academic material and classic literature, mm-hmm. and there's trash.
Yeah.
And children are, their minds are an empty, you know, a clean slate when it comes to these things. And you have English teachers actively pushing reading material that corrupts minors or that pushes a left-wing agenda. I mean, you have we have one coming up soon in Ohio where a school teacher, an English teacher, required kids to read an assignment that was printed in the Associated Press, but it was a glowing puff piece for the Harry Potter Activist Society, which co-opts the language of Harry Potter and the whole good versus evil fight to shunt the kids into left-wing activism. And so activism for transgender issues, for gun control, for veganism. And
veganism,
that's all under the guise of a reading assignment. That'll break in the main news within the next month.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and that is one thing. They're definitely creating left-wing activists within the public schools.
And with the gun walkout, that's another example where the schools bent over backwards to facilitate an allegedly student-led response to the shootings at Marjory Stoneman Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when individual students wish to present flyers to their friends on the Second Amendment and how schools can be protected by allowing the Second Amendment rights of teachers.
Yeah.
And this one particular child was told, oh, that's okay. The school board supports everyone's rights here. You don't need to distribute those because they've passed a resolution supporting everyone's rights. Meanwhile, the other side got to have a whole day of festivities, and this child would have been suppressed if his parents hadn't contacted us and we were able to help.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's definitely on one side, the left. The left is very vocal, and their activists are very are not afraid to step forward. And too many times conservatives are afraid to step forward because they're afraid to be called a homophobe or transphobe or whatever. Some demonize, because the left is so good at demonizing people and calling them names if you don't toe the line and do what they want.
They do, and you see when they're in positions of power, like a school administrator or an English teacher or a school board member, they're willing to use their power to advance their own beliefs, and they don't care about the fact that this is improper, that or there's an appearance of impropriety. And I guess that's one of the drawbacks of having principles, that you can't impose your beliefs on others as conservatives typically hold. That's what happens when people who are amoral have
control, have power.
Power.
But so many of these professional organizations, you know, the superintendents organizations and, of course, the NEA, definitely, but so many of these professional educational organizations or principals and superintendents, they're liberal, and they're all walking in lockstep. More than, there are some that aren't. But by and large, so many of these superintendents are all walking in lockstep to advance their liberal agenda. So what is it that parents can do? I mean, and as taxpayers, you know, we pay school taxes, but we don't have any children in school right now. So what is it that we can do?
There's the whole concept of starving the beast, and parents who can homeschool their kids or put them in private school should do so. Even though it's a financial sacrifice, it's something
that... kids are worth it.
If the kids are worth it, and there's no one who loves your kids more than you do, and if you hold values that you want to see passed on, then you should be spending that time with your children, the best hours of their day, every day, and walking with them and doing life together. And so I understand, though, that there are also people whose financial circumstances and life situation don't allow that. And where that's the case, you have to sacrifice and you have to be involved. You have to know what they're doing every day and ask them about the classroom assignments, review the classroom assignments, be proactive and contact the principal. Contact their homeroom teacher and say, I expect that my child will not be given assignments that or exposed to concepts that are teaching that contradict my religious beliefs.
Yeah,
and our parental non-consent form is a good example of that.
Right, and we actually have a link. We have that up on our website, and there's a link to that under Resources tab to the opt-out, for your all's opt-out form. You know, also, I think they should consider running for school board. Run as a block. You know, if there's several openings in a year, run as a block.
Absolutely.
So
and take control. And it takes rolling up your sleeves and doing a lot of governance is not fun. And but it's necessary. It's drudge. It can be drudgery. You can have conflicting personalities. You can have individuals that are hard to get along with. It's worth it, though, to get involved on those issues, because when it comes down to the issues that are most important, that affect your child directly, that affect other children directly, innocence of children issues, and innocence lost can't be regained.
That's
and
true.
So you or people who share values like you will be in a position to make the judgment call. It's a lot easier to defend a school board which makes a constitutional decision consistent with conservative and family values than it is to file a lawsuit and make them do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
The courts are hostile to attempts to hold school districts accountable in the courts, and so you'll see on issues like separation of church and state or Establishment Clause issues, there's, courts are happy to get involved and put an end to Bible reading, but courts are very reticent, and they suddenly grow scruples when it comes to enjoining sexually explicit curriculum and other material like that. So you have to be involved.
Yeah,
parents have to run for school board.
Yeah, for sure. How can folks contact you guys?
We can be reached at www.lc.org. You can request legal assistance. You can call us at 407-875-1776 or email us at liberty@lc.org. LC, the initials for Liberty Council, liberty@lc.org, and we can assist.
Okay, fantastic. I do encourage our listeners, if there's any issue, any question, to give these guys a call, because they're great help. They helped us many times. I appreciate that. So, Richard, keep up the good fight.
Thanks, Diane.
Okay,
we'll be
take
in touch.
Care. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.